Welcome back to Thyroid Strong Podcast, the show for women with Hashimoto's who want to work out smarter, not harder, and finally feel strong, lean, and full of energy again. I'm Dr. Emily Kybird, chiropractor, functional medicine practitioner, and creator of Thyroid Strong Functional Medicine Program, where I help women with Hashimoto's lift weights properly, eat for their metabolism, and uncover the root causes keeping them stuck in fatigue, bloat, and brain fog. Today, we are going to dive into one of the most common and most overlooked gut issues that I see in women with Hashimoto's. This gut issue is SIBO, S-I-B-O, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. If you are eating clean, if you are working out, tracking your food, your calories, your macros, and you still feel bloated like you're 6 months pregnant by dinner time, this episode is for you. By the end, you'll understand what SIBO really is, why it's so common in women with thyroid issues, and how to test for all three gases, how your GI map can hint at it, and why healing your nervous system is just as important as treating your gut. So what is SIBO and why does it love women with Hashimoto's? SIBO happens when bacteria that should live in your large intestine migrates up into your small intestine. When food moves slowly through the gut, food ferments in the wrong place in your GI tract. When food ferments, you get gas, bloating, and pressure, typically found in the lower third of your gut, kind of like belly button down. Now, if you have Hashimoto's, your body is primed for SIBO. And why is this? Low thyroid function slows down your gut motility, the movement of your food through your gut. Low stomach acid production in the stomach means that bacteria aren't being sterilized in the stomach and your food isn't fully being broken down. Sluggish bile and constipation gives bacteria more time to feast on the food that is in your digestive tract. And as we know, chronic stress shuts down your digestion completely. This idea of this feast and ferment process. So even if you're eating perfectly, if the system that moves food along is sluggish, bacteria will build up, bloat will follow. If your bloating shows up 2 to 4 hours after eating, that is your biggest clue that SIBO is potentially in the picture. Other symptoms could include gas, distension, cramping in the lower two-thirds of the belly, kind of belly button down, constipation or diarrhea, or sometimes you swing between both and we call that consteria, fatigue and brain fog, low nutrient absorption, so low B12, zinc, iron. So if you've ever had your iron panel be off, always ask why. Don't just supplement with iron. Food sensitivities that seem to multiply over time, especially cruciferous vegetables like broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts. And the longer that SIBO goes on, the more inflammation it creates. And that leaky gut drives thyroid antibodies even higher. There was one study done showing that 50% of people who had known thyroid issues had SIBO compared to the control of 5%. I will drop that study research into the show notes. So there are three types of gases that define your type of SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. The first one is hydrogen dominant gas. This gas can be linked to diarrhea and this feeling of bowel urgency. Number two is methane dominant gas, linked to constipation, bloating, and slow motility. The food is moving slowly through the gut. The third that most people don't check is hydrogen sulfide. It smells like rotten eggs. Your farts can and can cause pain, fatigue, and anxiety. The only breath test that measures all three gases is the Trio Smart SIBO test. That's why, because it checks all three gases, I use this with my clients. It's an at-home breath test where you drink a sugar solution, either glucose or lactulose, and then breathe into tubes that are connected to bags every 15 to 20 minutes for 3 hours. Trio Smart picks up hydrogen, methane, and hydrogen sulfide gas so that nothing gets missed. A lot of times, doctors will do a one-hour test, conventional docs or gastroenterologists, and what I've seen is that often misses a potential peak in the second or third hour. So I like to use Trio Smart because it's a three-hour test, and it's the only test that tests all three gases. So if you've treated SIBO before and it keeps coming back, and you treat it over and over again over the years, it's often because that third gas, hydrogen sulfide, has never been measured. Other reasons that it could be coming back again and again is something else is driving that bacterial overgrowth. Maybe it's an H. pylori infection up higher in the stomach, not allowing you to produce stomach acid. maybe there's mold exposure causing gut dysbiosis, and allowing that gut bacteria to feast and ferment longer than it should. This is for the ladies who've worked with other practitioners and gone a little deeper. If you've done a GI MAP stool test from Diagnostic Solutions, you might already have some clues pointing to SIBO. It doesn't diagnose SIBO directly, but it does have SIBO suggestive markers. So here's the patterns that I look for. Elevated steatocrit, or that's fat in your poop, shows poor fat digestion from sluggish bile flow. Low elastase is low pancreatic enzyme output, showing slow digestion. Elevated beta-glucuronidase, this is a sign of bacterial overgrowth and poor detox capacity. Overgrowth of commensal bacteria like Klebsiella, E. coli, or Citrobacter. Elevated zonulin or calprotectin, which can show inflammation or leaky gut. And then the presence of methanobacteria, that bacteria that is producing methane gas. These are SIBO suggestive, but then we need confirmation with a SIBO breath test. So that combination of bacterial overgrowth, poor fat breakdown, and inflammation often screams SIBO. And a lot of practitioners who read GI maps can miss this. So once you suspect it, you want to confirm it with testing. If hydrogen gas is high, the conventional approach is rifaximin or herbal microbials or herbal antimicrobials like acandobactin. If methane gas is present, rifaximin plus a neomycin or a nutraceutical approach would be dysbiocide or FC-cytyl. If you have hydrogen sulfide present, you're going to then focus on low sulfur foods, binders, and antioxidants. You cannot just guess because the treatment changes depending on which gas is dominant. That's why it's so important to test, not just guess. And I want to emphasize this. Healing from SIBO happens in phases. Let me say it again. SIBO healing from SIBO happens in phases. So phase one is the kill phase. This is the phase where we reduce overgrowth with targeted antimicrobials, either conventional antibiotics or herbal blends. Phase two is the repair phase. So we have the kill phase or the remove and then the repair phase. We heal the gut lining and restore normal movement of food through the gut, your gut motility. We use things like L-glutamine, zinc carnosine, aloe vera to repair the gut lining tissue. For motility support, we use things like ginger or magnesium oxide. For digestive support, we're looking at betaine HCl, which is stomach acid, bile acids or digestive enzymes to get that north to south digestion flowing again. You've heard me say this on past podcasts. And then I have women follow a low FODMAP diet for 5 weeks after addressing the SIBO to continue to starve the bacterial overgrowth. Phase three is we do a rebuild. So we do a kill or remove, a repair, and then phase three is rebuild. So we slowly reintroduce foods that were removed during the low FODMAP phase. We bring back prebiotics, which are the food that feeds the good bacteria. And we use probiotics at that right time, once gas and bloating has calmed down. If you use probiotics too soon, the bloat will come back. Here's a piece that most people skip. And this is really even before the kill phase, is nervous system regulation. Your gut and brain are connected by the vagus nerve. If you are constantly in fight, flight, freeze, or fawn is people pleasing. I like to default to freeze. And you're rushing through meals, you're multitasking, you're living on adrenaline and cortisol, your digestion literally shuts off. Your body thinks, all right, we got to fight. We do not have time to digest. And that means even the best SIBO protocol will not hold, and you might have to address SIBO over and over again if your nervous system is not regulated. So tools that I love for this piece, and different tools for different folks, different strokes for different folks. The Nerva app, it's a gut-directed hypnotherapy app backed by research shown to calm gut sensitivity and improve motility. The other one I really love because it skips through like all this education and just gives you tools straight away is the Your Daily Health app. I love diaphragmatic breathing before meals, 5 slow belly breaths to drop into that rest and digest phase. For those breaths, I love the exhale to be twice as long as the inhale. So maybe it's a 3 count in, 6 count out. I love cold exposure. I cold plunge, but if that feels like a lot for some of you, doing just a splashing cold water in your face, humming, can both stimulate the vagus nerve. And if you've listened to other episodes of Thyroid Strong, you know that we use humming during our rest breaks, in our workout, between sets, to help regulate the nervous system. Walking after meals, usually 10 to 15 minutes, can help regulate blood sugar and that motility in the gut, that movement of food through the gut. So when your nervous system is calm, your gut can finally heal. This is the missing link for so many women when it comes to SIBO. Some of the biggest mistakes I see for women who are addressing SIBO and working with other practitioners is staying on a low FODMAP diet too long. It is not meant to be done forever. Taking probiotics too soon after treatment, treating without testing, ignoring stress, nervous system regulation. You have to address the root cause, not just the bacterial overgrowth. So to wrap it up, if your bloat starts to happen 2 to 4 hours after meals, SIBO might be your missing link. The Trio Smart Breath Test measures all three gases over a 3-hour period, so most sensitive, most specific, so you can really target your treatment. And your GI map might already be showing clues if you know how to read them. That's the key. And remember, your gut will not heal fully, properly, without nervous system regulation. So if you're ready to figure out what's behind your bloating and your fatigue, check out my free gut masterclass. I share how 6 of my clients heal their gut, reduce their inflammation, decrease their thyroid antibodies, and got their energy back for good. And a bunch of them in there lost 30 to 40 pounds. So you can find the link in the show notes, or if you want to go on Instagram, you could just DM me gutmc. I will send you the link directly. And one last thing before we wrap. Sometimes what looks like SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, isn't bacteria at all. It's SIFO, small intestinal fungal overgrowth. SIFO is yeast, often candida, overgrowing in the small intestine. It mimics SIBO, same bloat, same fatigue, very similar food sensitivities, but it needs a completely different protocol. Antifungal, not antibacterial. If you've treated SIBO, again, and again and again, it keeps coming back, it might actually be SIFO. So that's why it's so important to test and work with a practitioner that knows. So make sure you tune in next week. We're breaking down SIFO, how to test for it, and how to treat it without wrecking your microbiome. Until next time, ladies, keep lifting heavy, eating the protein, doing the hard things. You got this.